Today's daf, daf yud tet, ready for a wonderful new week. And here we are holding in the middle of one of the most exciting sugyas in Shas, smack bang and Rabbeinu Chanan Kohanim. And let's get into this a little bit, reviewing what we've done so far. Well, yesterday we spoke about the makor of the shita of Rabbi Yossi, which is that mashkin are metamim ochlin midiraisa. We wanted to know how he knows that. Okay, so we came to the conclusion that what he was saying was said in terms of Rabbi Akiva's approach to the pasuk that appears by the sugi of a sheretz that falls into a kli cheretz, in which the Torah says that kol hamashkin asher yishateh b'chol kli, that are inside that kli cheretz itma. Now, a simple analysis of the case shows that the sheretz would be an avatuma. Obviously, kli becomes a rishon letuma. What's inside the mashkin now becomes a sheni letuma. And according to Rabbi Akiva, the itma is to be read as yitameh, which means that the sheni here is being tameh to the extent that it can tameh. Be metameh is something else, and we went through a whole rigmarole to prove that that something else has got to be over. And it can't be Kalin, and it can't be Mashkin Piyotzebo because of the repetition of the Yitzma. Okay, very nice. Now, the problem was that last night the Gemara points out that to say that Rabbi Yossi is following the sheet of Rabbi Akiva seems to be impossible, because we know that we've been taught that Rabbi Yossi can't hold of Rabbi Akiva, and we're going to have to see why that's true. We saw the first part of it. And that Rabbi Akiva can't hold of Rabbi Yossi. So he said, okay, it's true. He himself perhaps doesn't hold that Mashkin and Matame Mochel. When he was saying, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. When he was saying it, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, it was based on Rabbi Akiva's logic that the Yitzma can be darshed in two directions. Yitzma as no further, and that would be where we would attempt to use this substance to be metame similar substance. That won't work. Whether it's Oakland, they will not be metame other Oakland. Whether it's Mashkin, they will not be metame other Mashkin. On the other hand, Yitzma can also be darshan as Yitame, which means if there's another substance, Oakland be metame Mashkin, Mashkin metame Oakland, then Yitame. That was Rabbi Akiva's approach. Last night we went into an analysis of why it is that we're so convinced that Rabbi Yossi cannot hold of Rabbi Akiva. Now, before we go through that again, let's review what we know. What we know to be true is that there is such a thing as a sheni b'chulin. That's a given, because the case of Ochlin in a kli cheres is a description of a sheni. The question whether that sheni can make a shlishi, that depends on whether you read yitma as yitameh. But everyone is going to have to agree that the concept of sheni in chulin exists.
Okay, right.
And it's a given. It's right up Ferish Apostle. No question about that. Now, how do we go from the case of sheni that's given in the Torah to the case of shlishi b'truma and revi b'kodesh? That's really our challenge. If you think about it, your instantaneous approach is, well, wait. There's certainly no problem with a shlishi, at least a little bit of Rabbi Akiva. That's a given. Your only real question is, how do we know that there would be a revi b'kodesh, right? Furthermore, I also know, even if I don't hold of Rabbi Akiva, and I hold that the only thing that's given in the Torah is a sheni b'chulin, I do know that there's a shlishi b'kodesh. Why? Because the Torah said that habasar, the basar ashir yiga b'chol tameh, and b'chol tameh means anything that was stated in the Torah somewhere or another as being tameh, basar kodesh that touches that thing cannot be. So now I know that there certainly exists a shlishi, at least that it's posel. That's a given. I know that the shlishi b'kodesh is effective, even if I don't know the Rabbi Akiva. Maybe not chulin, but I certainly know that's the case by kodesh. Okay, so those are the givens. Now, it's possible that we know more, it's possible that we know less, depending on yitma. Now, there's another two givens. The other two givens, which we didn't really discuss in our sugya, is that the Torah says that there's a halacha of a tumah of a tful yom, and that there's a halacha of a tumah of a mechusa kippurim. What we know that's unique about these two tumahs is that the Torah limits their applicability to certain cases. So a mechusa kippurim, someone who went to the mikveh and who already had harif shemesh, that harif shemesh could be, let's say, it's a balkari the same night. Let's say it's a yoledet of a nekeva, it could be 80 nights later, but whenever it is. The moment the person is a mechusa kippurim, but he is a tful yom, still has to bring a korban the next morning, but he hasn't, it's not the next morning yet. Meanwhile, he's in the middle of his tyra, he's allowed to eat truma. He's not allowed to eat kodesh, he's allowed to eat truma. Furthermore, we also know that the tful yom has absolutely no impact on the kulin food. It will only have an impact on truma, and he's prohibited from eating truma. So that shows us right away from eating truma. Okay, so that shows us right away that there are higher levels of sensitivity to truma than chulin, and to kodesh than truma. And that's a given in the Torah. That's not something we're just making up over here, correct? Okay. Given those two facts, we can come up with a kal v'chomer to prove that whatever is capable of being metame something, is, or at least being at least a level of psul, in the lower levels, whether that lower level is chulin to truma, or the lower level is truma to kodesh, must be capable of creating one level more when it comes to the next higher. So whatever could be is the end layer of chulin is going to have to be able to go one step further in truma. Whatever is the end level in truma will have to go one step later when it comes to kodesh. And that's a raya from a chusik kippurim and a raya from tful yom. Now your obvious response to that is, hold on a minute, there's a classical dio situation. How can I create out of the fact that the Torah says there's a greater sensitivity because is a nitzar of achila to betful yom, or a nitzar of achila to betful kippur. Come up with the idea that therefore there's a new level of maybe dayola vominadim liot kinidon. Analyze all the facts that went into this analysis. The one given fact that you have in terms of levels of actual shame tuma is shani or shlishi. I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva's. How do you come creating a new thing from a kavachom? Isn't there a klal of dayola vominadim liot kinidon? Says Rashi, in each one of these cases, Tosis has a different approach. But Rashi's approach is, in each one of these cases, if I were applying Tvul Yom, the Truma, and creating a Shlishi B'Truma, I were applying Mechutz Kippurim to Kodesh, and creating now Ravi B'Kodesh, the reason why I won't say Dayo is because it's going according to the Man D'Omer, who says that if the Kal V'Chomer serves no purpose, then Dayo doesn't apply. Dayo only applies to say, look, there's a limit to how much you can get out of a Kal V'Chomer. But it doesn't apply to say that a Kal V'Chomer should be simply thrown by the wayside, because, well, what can I use the Kal V'Chomer for? After all, I'm going to have to apply something that goes beyond the given. That's one of the dinim of Kal V'Chomer. If it's there, it's meant to be used. Good. Okay, so hey, to the mitzvah of Kal V'Chomer, lo amina dayo, and therefore, once I can ascertain the derisa source for a given A, if I have a Kal V'Chomer, I can now claim A plus 1. In this case, I have a derisa source for the fact that we have Shlishi B'Kodesh. Rashi says, this is why we go out of our way to say those last words on Amud Beis, Shlishi Min HaTorah. Why do I need to know Shlishi Min HaTorah? I could have derived Shlishi Min HaTorah instead from Tvul Yom, from Aha, but then I would have had to say Dayo, because then the Kal V'Chomer would, I know already what I used the Kal V'Chomer for. So give me first Shlishi Min HaTorah. Then I ask you, so what do you need the Kal V'Chomer? Kal V'Chomer must be the Terumi Revi. Fine, very nice. Now, suppose our given start one step ahead, so I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, we are given a Shlishi B'Chuli, not B'Chuli, Min HaTorah, because it says Yitam. Me. Furthermore, once we're given a Shlishi Minatora, so then we know that we're given a Revi the Kodesh Minatora, because as our Tabasar Shi Gabakol Tamei, and you already know that Shlishi is Tamei Bechulin, so Tabasar Shi Gabakol Tamei means that a Revi is active in Kodesh. The same logic of Rabbi Yossi would force us into saying, okay, there must be a Chamishi Bechodesh, because we already know a Revi Minatora. Right? And we also come up with the fact that there must be a Revi B'Truma, because we already know our Shlishi B'Chulin in our Torah. And that would be, we would have our Kal V'Chomer from Tvul Yom. Are we fine with this?
Truma and Kodesh will be treated the same.
No. Truma will have a Revi, should have, if Rabbi Akiva holds to the logic of this Kal V'Chomer. Then the same Kal V'Chomer that Rabbi Yossi made by Mechutz Kippurim applies to Kodesh, applies to Tvul Yom, to Truma from Chulin. That if Chulin is given as has a Shlishi, then Truma is given as a Revi. And if Truma is a Revi, then Kodesh has a Chamishi. So now, what we wanted to say yesterday is really very straightforward. The reason that Rabbi Yossi clearly doesn't hold of Rabbi Akiva is because with his logic, if he held of Rabbi Akiva, he should have come out with the Revi B'Truma Chamishi B'Kodesh. And he doesn't. Because all that happens is, if you apply Rabbi Akiva, you have to up each one of your givens. Instead of saying, it's a given that a Sheni B'Chulin is Tami. It's a given that a Shlishi B'Kodesh is Tami. No! It's a given that a Shlishi B'Chulin is Tami, according to Rabbi Akiva, because he says the Sheni Yitamei. And therefore, it's a given that there's a Chamishi B'Kodesh, because it's a given that Kodesh that touches that is definitely a Revi, so now it must be that the Kal V'Chomer is adding a Chamishi. So it can't be that Rabbi Yossi holds of that logic. If we can show, no, I'm sorry, it can't be Rabbi Yossi holds of that drush, not that logic. He holds of the logic. He doesn't hold of Yitameh. Therefore, his givens are one layer down. His givens are that Chulin can only be Tamei min HaTorah Sheni, and that therefore Habasar Sheyigah B'Chol Tamei by Kodesh creates a Shlishi. Those are his givens. If he would buy into Rabbi Akiva's drushas, his givens would have been otherwise. Assuming that Rabbi Akiva, with his other givens, namely Shlishi B'Chulin and Revi B'Kodesh as the Araisa, given that that's true, assuming that he would buy into Rabbi Yossi's logic that we can make a Kal V'Chomer from Tvul Yom and B'Chutz HaKippurim, so then he should be forced to say Revi B'Chamishi. If we can prove that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of Revi B'Chamishi, then the same way we know Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of Rabbi Akiva's drasha, we also find out that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of Rabbi Yossi's Kal V'Chomer. Neither can hold of the other. That's where we were up to yesterday.
Is that possible to show that Rabbi Akiva could hold that she's sort of outside the set that the magician of Rabbi Eve or Rabbi Kodesh or just on the chain?
What is that? What do you mean out of the set?
In other words, that
it's exactly the same cases. Right. It's precisely the same cases that Rabbi Yossi used as his givens. Take those very same words, which according to Rabbi Akiva come from Yitameh instead of Yitma, and up them one. So how could you possibly make a distinction? It's exactly the same case. Right? It just means something different because of your pronunciation. All right. So yes, let's take a look at it inside just to get it clear, because these are a little bit strange with Sagim to everybody. The logic is very, very straightforward. The cases are very, very straightforward. And all we need to do is keep all of the simple facts in mind, and the sikh flows literally like a comic book. So now it comes along. Let's take a look over here. I mean, illustrated, of course, but you know. So now, let's just go back a little bit to Omale Rav Ashi L'Rav Kahana, which was on one-fifth up on the Amud Beis. Omale Rav Ashi L'Rav Kahana. Bishleim Rav Yossi Lo Sovar Lak Rav Akiva. I understand why you insist that Rav Yossi cannot hold of Rav Akiva. D'tanya Omer Rav Yossi Minayin L'Rav Yiva Kodesh Hu Pasul. How do I know that Rav Yiva Kodesh is possible? V'dinu, I'll make it a Kal V'chomer from a Chusar Kippur. Now the truth is, a thinking man at this moment knows that Rav Yossi doesn't hold of Rav Akiva. He doesn't have to go through the whole rigmarole. Because a thinking man says, what kind of question is that? If I know that Chulin creates a Shlishi from a Perverish Apostle, and I know that it says by Kodesh that any Bosa that touches anything called Tamei is also to eat, obviously there's a Reviva Kodesh. The moment I see Rav Yossi scratching his head and thinking, gee, how do I know? I'll make a Kavach HaMer. I know, forget it. Rav Yossi doesn't know the Reviva Kiva. Okay, but that takes a lot of steps. So the Gemara doesn't jump to the conclusion right there, but the truth is, once you see everything, you recognize that every last step of what Rav Yossi was saying was against Rav Akiva. Even the necessity of a Kavach HaMer is immediately against Rav Akiva. So v'dinu, I'll make a Kavach HaMer. If a Mechuser Kippurim, where the Torah says Beferush, is allowed to eat Truma. And the moment Uba Hashemesh V'tayer, that's what it says, sunsets, the guy can go in and eat from the Kodesh in that sense means the Truma, no problem. What about tomorrow morning's carbon? Makes no difference. Okay, very nice. So if a Mechuser Kippurim is Mutar B'Truma, nonetheless is possible B'Kodesh because the Torah says again, B'Feirush, that V'Chiper Alea Kohen V'tayer. Obviously, until that point, she was not V'tayer without the Kapor of the Kohen. So therefore, it follows that if I know that a Shlishi is possible B'Truma, Eino Din Shiyaz, which means that we know a Shlishi B'Kodesh B'Nat Torah. I have to tell you this because otherwise you'd say, ah, come on, I mean, you're telling me wishful thinking, but you can't prove it on the basis of the suppositions that you have here because of Dayal of Omin Adin. So therefore, I need to tell you this next piece. By the way, the Shlishi is definitely B'Diraisa. So now what's the point of this Kal V'Chomer if not to teach me a Revi? So how do I know a Shlishi B'Kodesh B'Nat Torah? Revive from a Kavachom, Shlishi Minat Torah, Dechiva Basar Shiga Bechol Tamei, Lo Yeachel. Again, immediately I see, oh man, he can't hold it for the Akiva. What do you mean? How do we know Shlishi Bekodesh Minat Torah? I know Shlishi Minabachulin Minat Torah, if I darshan Yitaher, right? So another, it's clear to me, anybody who's aware what's going on here, listens to Rabbi Yossi and says, boy, he really doesn't hold the Rabbi Akiva. Okay, now, the bottom line of why he doesn't hold the Rabbi Akiva is, forget about all of what he said. The bottom line is he should have derived one step more. But obviously, every line of what he says, it presupposes that Rabbi Akiva's drush of Yitahir is not correct. So, since it says, Abasar Shigaba Kol Tamei Lo Yeachel, and that would include even in a case, the Naga B'Sheni, and a Sheni is given because it says, Kuk Mikola Ochel Asher Yeachel Yitma, not Yitame, but Yitma, so it's a Sheni, therefore I know a Shlishi. And now I know Ravi Mikaba Chomer Kiri Aminan from Mechuser Kippurim. The Isalkadatech, Sabak Rabbi Akiva. If you thought that he held a Rabbi Akiva, again, close your mind for what he said. Just look at the bottom line. And pretend he didn't say all those horrible things against Rabbi Akiva. But the bottom line would be, right? Nitne Nami Rabbi Betrum of Chamishi Bekodesh. It's much easier for us to look at the bottom line than to point out that he doesn't hold a Rabbi Akiva all along for the simple reason that that allows us to immediately prove that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of him, only from the bottom line. Because since I've showed what the result would be of this Kal V'Chomer, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva's information. It's easy for me to turn around and say, aha, but since Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold it at bottom line, obviously he doesn't hold it to logic, but although he does hold it to the information, right? So therefore the Gemara is keeping things very simple by saying, okay, let's look at the bottom line. And of course, we who are aware of the basis of the drushes have already proven to ourselves over and over again that if obviously Rabbi Yossi does not hold of the Makoros of Rabbi Akiva, that's a given. Okay, so but again, bottom line, I don't care how you want it to make it work out, he can't hold of Rabbi Akiva because that the same information would have yielded by virtue of the Kal V'Chomer from Mechuser Kippurim one step more. He would have had a Revi B'Truma and a Chamishi B'Kodesh because the Revi B'Kodesh would have been a given. It would have been a given on the basis of the fact that Bosra Sheyigah B'Chol Tamei now means Bosra was Nogea B'Shlishi, which is given in the Pasuk of the Kli that's B'Tamei Oichli. And now it would be Tamei, and therefore it would be a Revi, and now Mechuser Kippurim has a Chamishi. Since he doesn't hold that, it's clear that he doesn't hold of Revi Akiva. That, says Rav Ashi to Rav Kahana, of course, that I understand. Any kindergarten child understands that. I don't know how you know the other thing. How do you know that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold the Rabbi Yossi? I see that Rabbi Yossi can't agree with the Mekorot of Rabbi Akiva. You have a problem with Rabbi Akiva holding of the logic of Rabbi Yossi? What exactly? exactly proves to you that? Or my way. He said, well, you know, what proves to me is the fact that in all of my vast experiences, I have never found anyone anywhere mentioning the possibility of a Revi'i B'Truman HaChamishi B'Kodesh and having somebody exclaim, wow, that's strange, and somebody saying, why is it strange? That's what Rabbi Akiva would hold. Nobody ever said that. I'd explain the fact that nobody ever said it. So that Rabbi Akiva lo sovek Rabbi Yossi midolo. Omaleh, delolish tami tam. Explain to me, how did everybody hide out all these years, 500 years of hiding? Where are they all hiding? Somebody should have let it slip, shouldn't they, that there's such a thing as a Revi'i B'Kodesh and a Chamishi B'Kodesh, a Revi'i B'Truman and a Chamishi B'Kodesh? And then we would have found out that that was Rabbi Akiva Shita. So obviously Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold to this logic. Ah, come on. And the lack of evidence, that's a proof. Anana, exactly. Anana, hochi, nekum, ladismov. That's the kind of argument you want to use to disprove Darwin. There's something missing in the paleontology record. Shvachamaisis. Bring me positive riots, not negative riots. Don't accept it. Nafak, Ravashi. So Ravashi said, okay. He's throwing me a challenge. All right. We're going to prove that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of a Revi'i B'Truman, a Chamishi B'Kodesh. Enough of this Mishigat. So Nafak Ravashi, some say it was Rav Kahana, Doc, he went through the various things that we know of Rabbi Akiva. Mashkar, sure enough, he found what he was looking for. Of course, the question, once again, is, you know, did we discover the electron or did we manufacture it? So he searched and he found. Seek and ye shall find it. But it's not. We've got a Mishnah. Mishnah Chagiga that says, HaKli Mitzaref Et Masha B'Tocho L'Kodesh Avalo L'Truma. So one halacha is that the Mishnah there is listing ma'alot. Ma'alot are issues that affect Kodesh and not Truma. In what way is Truma more sensitive to Truma, to Tuma than Truma? So one of the things it says is that if you've got a long Kli and you have two things in it that are not in contact with each other, nonetheless a Kli makes everything in the Kli one thing. So that if someone Tame touches a thing in that Kli, everything in the Kli is Tame, even though it doesn't itself come in contact, not only not in contact with the person who's tummy, it doesn't even come in contact with the other things in the Kli. That's called Siruv Kli. That affects Kodesh, not Truma. Furthermore, a Revi'i B'Kodesh puzzle, you can even have a Revi'i B'Kodesh, but you can only have a Shlishi when it comes to Truma. Now, so far that doesn't prove that it's Rabbi Akiva, but if I can show you that Rabbi Akiva is the one who said that, then you surrender, correct? Because it means Rabbi Akiva does not hold of a Chamishi B'Kodesh, it does not hold of a Revi'i B'Truma. Okay, now I'm about to throw in the last piece. V'yomar Rabbi Chia Barava on Rabbi Yochanan, me'edutu sh'Rabbi Akiva. The only way we know that Kli is Mitzarev Mashi B'Tocho is because of Rabbi Akiva's Eidut, in which Rabbi Akiva added, Osif Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva added to other Eduyot, which we'll see more of. It was Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim, actually, interestingly enough, who was testifying over there about various issues. Bring us all the way back to other things of Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim. But he adds, Rabbi Akiva, Hasolet. Hasolet, of course, is edible. Ktoret is not edible. Levona. Levona is not, you wouldn't normally have called it food. Gichalim, you certainly wouldn't have called food. But nonetheless, there is a halacha called Chibat HaKodesh Maksharatan, and turns them into ochr, mashva ochr. Something that has a level of kedusha, that it has kedusha taguf, that is in the Beit HaMikdash, is considered to be food, even though it doesn't look like food. Chibas HaKodesh, the chavivut, the preciousness of Kodesh, gives it a higher darga of status. And since the vulnerability to Tuma is a function of a thing's status as being a human conscious instrument or use in terms of food, clothing, instrument of usage, the higher order usage that's implied by its kedusha, where even though you can't ingest it, but the Mizbeach will ingest it, that turns it into food of a different level. And it becomes subject to Tuma. Therefore, comes on Rabbi Akiva and says that any of these things that are in a Kli, that's our idea, and it must be based on this. She'im nagat tfulyon b'miktzatan, if a tfulyon touches one, let's say I have a pile of coals, gichalim, tfulyon touches one of those coals, all of the coals become tummy. How could all the coals become tummy? Even if you want to say it goes one level to the next level, how many times can it do that? There's got to be something being mitzaref in here. So, therefore, says Rabbi Chia Bar Ava, oh, of course, Rabbi Akiva is implying that there's a din of tzir of Kli. That is the marker of the Mishnah in Chagiga that says Akli Mitzarev Masha B'Tocho. Now, if the Meiser Rabbi Akiva didn't hold of Revi'i B'Kodesh and he held of Chamishi B'Kodesh, then we immediately should have jumped up and started screaming. Wouldn't we? How could this be Rabbi Akiva's Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva disagrees with this, because given that Rabbi Akiva knows Yitma Zitameh, and assuming that Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yossi, he would have held a Revi'i B'Truman of Chamishi B'Kodesh. And yet that very Mishnah that you're claiming is Rabbi Akiva's Mishnah says Revi'i B'Kodesh and Shlishi B'Truman. So it's obvious that Rabbi Akiva does not not hold of the logic of Rabbi Yossi. You say that the logic is impeccable. It's not impeccable. Because the Gemara in Sota itself points out that there will come a generation who will throw all of this back in our face. Why? Because they will make the obvious objection that a Tfuyom and a Mechusar Kippurim, though attenuated in their ability to impact something else, nonetheless are Avot Hatuma. You are making a very, very great leap by saying that an analysis of what something is capable of affecting is ipso facto an expression of the level of its tumah. That is not true. Just because something can only affect a thing that's affectable by a shlishi and not more, won't affect it as a sheni, doesn't mean it's a shlishi. It may be that it's an avatuma, which it was. The guy started off as an avatuma. She's a yoledet. Yoledet is an avatuma. There's nothing to argue about. So you say, but she went to the mikveh, therefore she's, yeah, therefore she's tahar. She's not tahar. You admit she can't eat truma, so why can't she truma? Because she's still tummy. Well, she's still tummy, so then why doesn't she make things right away a rishon? Because the Torah said, after going to the mikveh, you don't make things a rishon. That makes you into a shlishi. Makes you an avatuma who can only be matame, certain things. Why is that the same thing as being a shlishi who can make revi? I don't understand that jump. So the fact that both Mechusar Kippurim and the Tfuyom are actually avot hatuma instead of being shlishi, it completely invalidates your kal vachomer. Obviously there is something that may very well give a greater impact to something that is still in a state of avot hatuma, despite the fact that the tefillah and the harid shemesh prevents that tumah from breaking out except under very special circumstances, is not the same thing as saying that the tumah was ipso facto attenuated to the level in which it's now shlichi and revi, just because it acts like shlichi and revi. Therefore, the whole kal vachomer is busted. So if Rabbi Akiva buys into the dor acher, Gemara said over there, another generation will come to say that this is wrong. Maybe Rabbi Akiva is that other generation. In which case, he doesn't hold the whole kal vachomer. But that depends, of course, on an analysis of what the mechanisms are of the semi-tahira of going to a mikvah before Mechusar Kippurim, while being Mechusar Kippurim, while being at Fuyong, which is also in and of itself. But there's nothing that forces you to claim Rabbi Akiva has got to agree to Rabbi Yossi's impeccable logic. It is not impeccable logic. So if we find that Rabbi Akiva does not hold the Rabbi Yitzchak, does not hold the Chamishi B'Kodesh, obviously, just doesn't hold that given the information that he knows, Shlishi B'Chulin and Rabbi B'Kodesh, that therefore I have a Kal V'Chomer to make Chamishi B'Kodesh. That's all. So we now see, says the Gemara, see, Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold the Chamishi, which means that he doesn't hold the Rabbi Yossi's logic. He is Tahor, and that he can't be Matami Kol
Chulin. That's what you're saying.
Not I'll say, it's the truth. I don't know what his status is. Vis-a-vis Chulin, he's Tahor. That's all his status is. But what he can make Tame, he makes Tame. The way he always was, because he hasn't yet been Tahor. Just because you jump to the conclusion that in your limited experience in this universe, things that only make X Tame and not Y Tame have to be on a level of Tuma of 4 instead of 3, does not mean that that's the only reason that something can make X Tame and not Y Tame. Is an avatuma. Correct. An avatuma. And Mishitatska. The Torah is calling him a Torah person despite the fact that he makes Kodesh Tomei. How do you explain that? And this thing, why are you asking on me? Well, how is that relevant to my argument? Where he doesn't make something Tomei. As a matter of fact, I would say that if anything, that's a riot to me. Because all that it could be saying is that within this set of applications, he's Tahor. But where he's Tomei, he's what he always was. Right. And that it's the Torah is not referring to attenuation. It's referring to a set. In these things, he can be Tomei. And in these things, he can't. And therefore, he's Tahor. Anyway, so there we see Revi'in Chamishi Lo when it comes to Kodesh. Shlishi'in when it comes to Truma Revi'in Lo. That's clear. This is all Rabbi Akiva. Alma Kasava. So apparently, let's forget about the Alma Kasava. That's another issue. Revi'in Lo. Period. Here where we should have our two dots. Okay. Not really, because the Alma Kasava is close enough. Shouldn't have a two dots, but a little English style period would be fine. All right. So that's the Gemara, but just an interesting aside. I mean, once you're saying this, Alma Kasava Tzir of the Rabbanon. I mean, that's also an indication. The very fact that we add the list of ma'alot, which Kodesh is affected, and not Truma. All of these ma'alot are ma'alot, which are drabon. And again, this is how Rashi learned. The way that the Gemara in Chagiga characterizes the Chamesh ma'alot achronot, which are these, are that the letlu drara the Tuma diorita, which Rashi understands to mean that there would be no basis of a diorita to apply over here. Okay, so if that's the case, you're telling me by adding Tzir of Kli to this list that Tzir of Kli is the Rabbanah. Tosfos disagrees across the board with Rashi. He doesn't think that let Ludror the Tumah Diraita means there's no Mokar Diraita. That means in a particular case there may be no application. But let's leave that aside because, I mean, although I'd love to make this our sugya because it's so much fun, but we'll have to try to stick to the Daf Yomi here. And Sochim was it? Oh, yes.
Is that people's Kodesh is
Rabbanah? No. We're saying that that's a Machlokas of the Rashi and Tosfos, by the way. Yeah, it relates. relates to that. But you certainly see that Tziruv is the Rabbanan. And in saying so, you're arguing in Rabbi Hanin, who says that Tziruv is the Oraita. He derives Tziruv from a oft-repeated verse, which you may recall. Kafachat asara zahav meleah ketoret. Well, you heard that plenty of times. So the kafachat meleah ketoret hakatuv asa kol ma shebekaf achat. What it's saying is that a container, which is a kaf, is by definition a kaf. All right, so that would mean that by having something now in a kaf, it's got to be makabel tuma along with anything else in the kaf. That would not be something that would apply only to kodesh. Obviously, it would apply to kodesh, to truma, and these maalot are things which we make the difference between kodesh and truma because we recognize that they're moker maybe only a derabon. Now tznan hata. Another thing after Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim, just barely related to our Reb Chanina Skan HaKohanim, was made among other things. One of the things that he was made, was a machat shenimtzeit bebasar. Now here you go, you're cutting open a piece of meat in the Beit HaMikdash, and that if you found in a basar of Kodesh, you found a needle, and it obviously wormed its way into the basar, and the question is, where did it come from? I mean, this machat could be anything. I mean, maybe it was tummy. Nonetheless, it was made that the knife that was used for cutting that basar, the yadayim of the kohanim that were involved in butchering that basar, are all tahorot, whereas the basar itself is tameh. Nimtzeit beperesh, if it was found in the contents of the stomach that were washing out, then even the basar is tahor, hakol tahor. And Rabbi Akiva's comment on that was, wow, zachino she'im tumat yadayim b'mikdash. Thank God that the chachomim control themselves. We're never gozer tumat yadayim in the Beit HaMikdash, because otherwise, but just imagine, if the yadayim in such a case would have been tameot, and anything that kohen had touched during the, oh God, I hate to think about it. So, we're in luck. We're in luck that there's no gezerah of tumas yadayim in the Mikdash, and that therefore we don't have to worry about it. Maybe for Purim. It sounds very much like Revach Vatzalah or something. So we're in great luck. Now, Lamaisa, there's another thing that we're lucky about, because just imagine the butcher might have been telling me. He knows how many korbanos would have been wrecked that day, right? And we do know that there was a gezeira on Kalin that even came in contact with Mashkin. Complete. The rabbanon is absolutely wild. That will allow Mashkin to become Tameh, and Tameh to such an extent that it will be Metameh a Kli. So the machat over here, if there had been such a gezeira, then the machat would have been Metameh the butcher knife, and then also would have been a disaster. So why is Rabbi Akiva only thanking his lucky stars, so to speak, for the din of Tumas Yadayim? What happened to Tumas Kalin? He should have said, it says, Zechus Tarein Tumas Yadayim the Kalin Bamigdash. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav, I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina. We'll have to say that Yadayim Kodem Gezerat Kalin Nishnu. Apparently, the Gezerat that Yadayim are Tamei Min Rabbanan, the testimony of Rabbi Hanina's Kana Kohanim, was before the Takona on Kalin. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva's comment, which was based on what it was that Rabbi Hanina had mentioned, was a timepiece, because he was talking about a gezerah that existed at the time, which was Yadayim, and not about gezerahs that didn't exist at the time, which were Kalim. So he didn't make a comment on it. Says the Gemara, but that's... Exactly. But he said, since the gezerah doesn't exist yet about making Kalim Tamei, I don't have to thank the Lord that they didn't make it in the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't exist at all.
Get the point of the time.
At the time that there was a gezerah of Yadayim, there was not as yet a gezerah on Kalim. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva made the comment benogea Yadayim that we're lucky, and didn't make a comment on Kalim that we're lucky. Because why make a comment on something that didn't exist
at the time of Rabbi Akiva,
or at the time of Rabbi Hanina's Kana Kohanim?
It would have to. Rabbi Akiva was after.
Well, we'll see. It depends where it comes from. No, not in the Beis Hamikdash. On my Rava, but that's not true. It's simply not true. Historically, the two gezerahs came on the same exact time, because Atavayu Bo Bayom Gazru. Both of these things took place in the famous Aliyah, which was the second story where they used to meet, of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Goron. And over there they had the Yud Ches Dvorim and so on and so forth. They were all together and wanted to take a look at the Mishnah. It's not Hasefer v'Hayadayim v'Tfuyom v'Ha'ochlim v'Kelim. You read that? Kelim Shenitmu b'Mashkin. Those were all together, one of the Gzeres, on the same day in Aliyah's Hananya. So how can you tell me that it took place at different times historically? You're talking about Kelim Shenitmu b'Mashkin. So you should have said, boy, it sure was a good thing they didn't think that up in the Beis HaMikdash. Elam Arava, no. The reason that Rabbi Akiva didn't comment on why it is that the sakin didn't become tame is because hanachla tumat sakin. There was no possible basis of being matame the sakin over here. We weren't even talking about mashkin, that's for sure. We were talking about over here in a case where afilu b'chulin nami lo mitame. Even in a case of chulin where there are gezeiros, there's no possible way to be matame the sakin. Because explain to me, please, how the sakin would have become tame. The machat was what? You're saying, the sakin might have touched the machat. That's what you're saying. Okay. What would have happened? What did it touch? I mean, did it touch the basar? Ein ochel matame kli. That's a given. There's never ochel or matame kelim, okay? Was it nogei in the machat? Even if the machat's tame, ein kli matame kli. So why would the sakin be tame? Okay, I'd like to understand, how did the machat become tame? Because I'm not convinced by your logic. I'm machat maya bidat. They're telling me a kli can't be matame kli. That, first of all, that's not a given. Not a given at all. Because a machat that touched a tame mace is an avatar because of cholol cherub. Right? So it wouldn't have gone down one level. You're just taking for granted. I'd like to understand the case before we jump to conclusions.
Could be an aviavot.
If it touched the death, it would be an aviavot. So I machat maya bidat. Your name is Suffolk machat. Are we talking about that? Oh, gee, I wonder what this machat is, but I have no reason to believe it's tame. Then that's b'chlal not a problem, because why would that be matame the sakin? Ha'it mar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, that shouldn't be matame anything. Chad amar lo gazer al sofek harokin, should be Yerushalayim. Chad amar lo gazer al sofek hakelim, should be Yerushalayim. We have two ma'amores here, one of which says that even though normally if we have in a shuk somewhere some spit on the floor which came into contact with a kli, then that kli would be tame, because I'd always have a suffix that maybe it's a zov that had walked by and spit. I don't have that problem in Yerushalayim. And even though normally if I find kalim stam lying around in a shuk, I'll have to assume that they're tame. I don't have that problem in Yerushalayim. So why then would I think that a machat would be tame? It's only a kli in Yerushalayim. On Rav Yonah Marav, the case must be that avdalo machat tamemet v'kira b'basar. It must be that he knew that the machat was tame, and he knew that it had come into contact with the tame mate, which of course blows the whole sugya. I mean, because that's the case that it should be the tame of the sakin, which we're going to get to. So first, we're trying to identify where did the machat come from, and he recognizes this machat. Oh, there it is! I was looking for my diamond-studded machat for a long time. So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Levin says one is very simple. The only time that we don't have a gezeirah of kalim in Yerushalayim is if the kalim came from Yerushalayim, obviously. Suppose the parah was chasuma the whole time, so that the parah couldn't have swallowed this machat
while it was in
Yerushalayim. Right? It had come now from chutz Yerushalayim. It was chasuma the whole time, and then we went out and shechted it. Obviously, this is a machat which is coming from chutz Yerushalayim, so it was like a stam machat, which doesn't have the chazak of kalim should be Yerushalayim. Now, before we get to discuss the din,
that's redefining the which are in Yerushalayim and not
that anywhere. Correct. So now, before we get to understand how a machat of tamei mace does not create a problem to a sakin, let's just first understand the edut about roke and kelim in Yerushalayim. Gufa. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, we don't know who said what, but we know one of them said one of these and the other the other. Chanamar lo gazer al safek harokin shebi Yerushalayim. One of them says that if you have any contact with spit on the ground in Yerushalayim, there's no safek of tuf attached to it. Now, our first response to that is, you're simply telling us a Mishnah. I don't know why we need you to repeat a Mishnah. Because both of these are Mishnahs. Roken Tanina and Kalim Tanina. There's a Mishnah that teaches the din of Roke. There's a Mishnah that teaches the din of Kli. Let me, please, present the Mishnah. You tell me how the minor is different than what's in the Mishnah. Roken Tanina Titznan. Here it says, Beferush Shkalim, Kol HaRoken HaNimtzaim B'Yerushalayim Tahorim, Chutz Mishal Shuk HaElyon. Now the Shuk HaElyon is a place that's not only in Barnea's neighborhood, it's in our neighborhood. And Barnea's pointing to it right now. Point, Barnea, point. There it is, right outside the window. They call it, I think, the car door.
Actually, might be on the edge.
Okay. So that was the Shuk HaElyon in Yerushalayim. That was the area in which anybody who's Tomei, just as today, would stay there. In order not to be matame other people. So there, indeed, there were problems of roke. But anywhere else in Yerushalayim, there's no problems of roke. So what's he adding? He's adding, Letzicha, I forgot, these chazik zav. Even though we know that a zav walked through one of the other shvakim and wasn't careful, we still have our general chazaka. You don't have to worry about roke in Yerushalayim. So he's adding that. Furthermore, kalim tanina, how about the din of kalim, which also appears in the Mishnah, same place. Kol HaKelim HaNimtzayim B'Yerushalayim. Derech Yirida LeBeit HaTfilah. Again, in a very clear place in Barnea's neighborhood. There are separate entranceways and exits for the mikvaot. So the entranceway is where everybody who was tummy or had a kli that was tummy would go down. In order not to come in contact with each other, there was clearly a separate exit to prevent getting tummy again on your way out of the mikvah. I mean, that's the last thing you need. So therefore, if you find a kli that is lying on the side of the down stairwell, obviously it's tummy. If you find it on the up stairwell, so then it would be tar. So if you have to tell me in the Mishnah, the only kelim that are tummy in Yerushalayim are when they're found on the down stairwell, then obviously if you just find them in the street, then they're tar. Says the Gemara, very, very nice that you left out the seif of the Mishnah, which proves the opposite. I mean, I love this selective quoting, but if you look at the rest of the Mishnah, it proves the opposite. L'taym echema seifa, derech aliyah tahori, if you find the kelim on the up stairwell, so then it's tar, which proves that if anywhere else, except on the up stairwell, where which was just came out of the mikveh, it would be tummy. It proves the opposite. So how do you intend to prove something from that Mishnah? So obviously, I need somebody to explain which one is dafka, which one is on dafka, no? Comes along now the mimer, either Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, to tell me that actually Ela Reisha Dafka. The Reisha says the only thing that's Tomei is on the way down. The Seifa was not meant to imply that anywhere else is Tomei, but rather it is said in order Lafuke Gezayata. The entranceways, the alleyways that lead it to the mikveh, where you don't have separate up stairwells and down stairwells, there, obviously, sits on the way to the mikveh. There you have a suffix, because you can't distinguish between the coming in and the coming out. For that, there, indeed, there would be a suffix, even in Yerushalayim. So now we know why it was necessary to say these two mamoras. That's very nice. Now, can we get back to our sugya, please? Thank you. So the Rav. Rav said the case was that he lost a needle, and now he recognizes his long-lost favorite needle right there in the basar. And it's not mitame. Why is it not mitame? Yes, the Gemara, even the Omer Mar, that from the pasuk of Bachalal, Cherev, I learn out that Cherev Areyu Kechalal. So forget about being mitame the basar. If this was a makar of a tame made, so the makar is an avatuma. It should have been mitame the person. Forget about his yadayim. Should have been mitame the sakin. You're telling me the only problem is the basar. And Rabbi Akiva is going to town about, wow, good thing yadayim are not an issue. Why aren't we talking about tuma across the board here? Amravashi Zotomeret. Ha! It's a great chiddush. The reason that there's no problem is since I'm not sure that I came in contact with my knife onto this machat or with my hands on this machat. The only thing I know for sure came in contact with the machat is the basar. Everything else is a suffix. And where was that suffix? In the Azara. And the Azara has lots of people around in the Azara. Therefore, the Azara is considered to be a suffix to Mabir Shut Rabim. Because safek tumah b'rishut harabim sveiko tahor, and therefore there's no tumah by definition on a sakin that might have come into contact with a makat, even a makat that's coming made.
Sure,
the
makat just safek
if it touched it. Right. So the basar's not a safek if it touched it. It was buried in the basar.
Sure,
but the sakin, that's a question.
For doing tumah, the Azara is rishut harabim, but the didim of carrying.
Correct. That's right. Now, wait. So are you implying Shabbos?
Oh, okay.
So are you implying now that if it would have been Bereshit HaYachid, so then Sveiko Tameihu, then it would have been Tamei. But wait a second. The mukar of that halacha is learned from Sotah, right? You're saying, since the Torah said the Sotah is alone with a guy, Bereshit HaYachid, is by definition Asura, sorry, Turas, but, and the Torah is calling her Nitma'ah until proven otherwise. Now, therefore, the same thing is true of any tamei, because of the usage of the word nitma, any tamei. But wait a second. The sota, we can ask her, did you sleep with the guy or not? That's the whole point of the whole thing that we do. Tell us what happened, right? Can we ask the makat whether it touched the sakin? It's an ein bo dat lishael. It doesn't talk. And therefore, since it is makat, and this really doesn't mean the makat, it means the case of the makat, it is the sakin. That's coming in touch with the machat. There's no suffix on the machat. The suffix is on the sakin. The sakin is a davar she'in bo dat lishael. The chol davar she'in bo dat lishael is excluded from the limud of sota and is left on a default position of sveiko tar, whether it's in Rishut HaRabim or whether it's in Rishut HaYachid, and therefore it should be here even in a Rishut HaYachid tahar.
Why wouldn't it? Because
that's the din.
No, there'd be a
bima. There'd
be a what? There'd be a bima.
What?
A pagum. It would be nigam from the machat if it actually hit the machat.
No, why? No, it's not a second sheet.
Oh, it's not a
second sheet. No. So, Mishum Davi Safik Tuma Haba Abi Deyatam. The case over here is that it's a sakin that is not magically butchering. I'm sure you remember the beautiful scenes of sakin and just moving, cutting out the basar. In this case, it's an old-fashioned sakin that requires a human being on one end of it. And on that end, it's got a brain. And therefore, you can ask it. And of course, the human will speak for it.
Not fantasia.
Well, yes, a little behind the times, I would say, but no, it's not fantasia. The Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Safik Tumah Ba'a Bidei Adam, where the Safik Tumah is caused by a brain on one end, Nishalin Alea, Afilu B'Kli HaMunach HaGavi Karka, Kidavar She'esh Bodat Lishael. You can ask that brain about what the status is of the thing to which it's attached, even if at the time that the Kli is now sitting on the ground. But once there was an Adam who was involved in that question, then that Adam turns it into a Sufik Tuma, Bershut HaRabin, Bershut HaYochid, as the case may be, because he takes the place of the Sota at this point in our Dimayon. Okay, that was a lot of fun.
And we have to pay rent.
And we have to do our review. Let me just do the quick daf review and then. The Tanya. Omer Rabbi Yosi Minayil, Rabbi Bekodesh, Uposo, Bedinu. Mamma, Chose Kippurim, Shumot, Bechurim, Uposo, Bekodesh, Shlisha, Uposo, Bechurim, and then she asked Rabbi Bekodesh, Velomadu, Shlisha, Bekodesh, Bina Torah, Rabbi Mikal, Vachoma, Shlisha, Bina Torah, Dichti, Habasar, Shiga, Bechol, Tamei, Loye, Achel, Milo, Askin, and the Naga, Besheni, Rabbi Mikal, Vachoma, as I just mentioned above about the Bechose Kippurim. Now, Isa, Gadaita, Sovak, Rabbi Akiva, he should have had one level more. Nitnami Ravi Bitruma Vachamishi Bakadash. But I don't understand how you know the Ravi Akiva Losovalak Rabbi Yosi Minola. Oh my lay, well, Lishtami Tana Velikni Ravi Bitruma Vachamishi Bakadash somewhere. The name of Rabbi Akiva. Ah, that's bad news. Anana Haki Nekum Manismo. Nofa Gravashi became Ravkana Dak Veshka. How did Tanana Klima Saref at Mashapatoko Lakodash? Avalola truma, v'harevi b'kodesh posel, v'ashlishi b'truma. And we happen to know from B'chia Barabam Rabbi Yochanan that it was Rabbi Akiva who said that, because it may do touch Rabbi Akiva, nishneit mishnezov. Titznan osif Rabbi Akiva, asolet v'aktoret v'alavona v'gechalim, and therefore our foods that are chibat ha-kodesh makhsharatan liyot ochel. Shim nagat v'yam v'miktzatan, Pasalat Kulan, obviously, because they were in the same container. And you see that in his Mishnah, he says the Feirush Revi'i, not a Hamishi. And about Shulma, he says a Shlishi, not a Revi'i. Are you happy now? Alma Kasar of the Rabbona, which means he would be pleading the Rebbe Chanin, the Alma Tzir of the Right, the Shlema, Kaf Achat, Asara Zahav Meliak Toret, Akatuv Asa Koma Shebe Kaf Achat. Now, Tzan Hatam, further Eidut, Rebbe Chanin is Kanakonim, Amachat shenimtzeit bebasar shasakin vahayadayim tahorot vehabasar tamei nimtzeit beferesh hakol tahor. Om Rabbi Akiva, whew, zachino she'en tumat yadayim v'migdash. Now why doesn't he say she'en tumat yadayim v'kelim v'migdash? Om Rabbi Yonam Rabbi Tem Rabbi Ezra b'chanina, because historically yadayim came first at the time, so that was kodim zerat kelim nishno, and he didn't know about kelim. It wasn't a geir. Amar Rava, what do you mean? Atavar boba yom gazrut, it's none. Hasefer vayadayim utvuyom veaochlim vakelim shnitmu b'mashkin. El Amar Rava hanachu tumat sakin afilu b'chulin nami lo metame. Hai sakin de naga b'may. Lem de naga b'basar inochem metame kli. El de naga b'machat and kli metame kli. So there's no problem. Well, I mean, what was machat my avidate? In a Sufik Machat, Eitmar Velozov, Rabbi Yezer, Rabbi Chanina, Chalamar Lo Gozor, Al Sufik Arokin, Shibir Yerushalayim, Chalamar Lo Gozor, Al Sufik Akelim, Shibir Yerushalayim, Omer Vion, Omer Rav, Kegon Sha'avdalo Machat, Tomei Meit, and now Hikira, Bibasam, Rabbi Yezer, Rabbi Yovin, Omer, Kegon Sha'aita, Parach, Asuma, Uva'a, Michutz Yerushalayim, Gufa. Velozov, Rabbi Yezer, Rabbi Chanina, Chalamar Lo Gozor, Al Sufik Arokin, Shibir Yerushalayim, Chalamar Lo Gozor, Al Sufik Akelim, Shibir Yerushalayim. What do we need them for? Rokin Tanina Vakelim Tanina. Rokin Tanina the Tzankala Rokin and Sai Mirushalayim Torin Chutz Mishal Shuka Elyon. It's coming to tell me Reisha Davka Seifa Lav Davka. Why then is it mentioned? Lafuki Gizaita? Or the Rav Domek Gon Shabdalo Macha Tome Mate Biki Rab Basar? Then why is it Tahor? Kiman Domer Marba Chalal Cherev, Cherev Erevke Chalal? Then even the sacking and even the Adam for that matter should be Tome. Forget about the Adayim. Om Ravashi Zotomeret Azara Rashid Rabimi. Aval Sufik Tumar Rashid Rabim. Kol Sufik Tumar Rashid Rabim Sveko Tahor. So are you saying that Bushuta Yachit Sveko Tamei? I mean, Mirti, Haimaka Dova Shein Bo Da'at Yishael? Chol Davar Shein Bo Da'at Yishael? Bein Bushuta Ram, Bein Bushuta Yachit Sveko Tahor. Ah, that's B'shem Da'abi Sofik Tuma Abba Bidei Adam. V'amir Yochan, Sofik Tuma Abba Bidei Adam. Nishalina Lea, Afil B'Kli HaMonach HaGavi Karka, Ki Davar Shiyesh Bo Da'at Yishael. Whew.